The views, opinions, and comments expressed by hosts, guests, and callers of this show are not necessarily those of this station, its parent company, Telesouth Media, its staff, management, or advertisers. Content of this broadcast cannot be duplicated or used in any way without the express written consent of Telesouth Media Incorporated.
Well, it's safe to say we probably never met. Even still, if a betting man was I'd bet every single one of us have found ourselves standing in the storms of life, soaking wet, but do not fret. Chin up, my friend, a little bit of rain is not how this thing ends, but sometimes we forget. So if you understand, let me see those hands, cause everybody needs a little hope.
Welcome to Hope, the program that offers hope to the struggling, hope for the depressed, and hope for the oppressed. Now here are your hosts, Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our show, Hope. I'm Tommy Wilson, Director of Living Free Ministries. I'm downtown Corinth here on a beautiful Thursday morning. Maybe a little cool outside, but it's better than it's been in the last few days. Sun's shining. And we're here live at Super Talk Radio Station with some friends in the room. Man, we got friends scattered all around the room here. Dr. Phil.
Got a pack.
Yeah, and Clevy sitting here clapping, cheering on the guys. We got Kyle Jackson.
Section.
Yeah, we got Kyle Jackson to my left, Larry Winters to my right, and I'm in the room with Bobby Capps here, and who is director of Crosswind Ministry. He's also our biblical counselor at the Freedom Center, our personal counselor, our family counselor. I mean, he's everything but the vet. And Bobby.
I do like dogs, though.
Yeah.
We that part.
You know, that.
I don't feed them biscuits in the morning.
Well, my pups got Vianney's this morning. They didn't get a biscuit. But I love that verse out of Proverbs. It says you can tell a lot by a man the way he treats the animals.
So, treats his beast.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, but, you know, we're here. Ronnie Martin is in court with a guy this morning in Etowamba County. And so he is out. So Kyle Jackson is subbing in for him and Larry.
Kyle's one of our interns at the Freedom Center. A graduate from long ago, but we're glad to have him on our show. And glad to have him as an intern.
Yeah.
Been a real big help to us.
Kyle, tell us what's going on at the Freedom Center.
So right now, we got about 10 guys that are in the program.
Got about three or four on the way.
A lot of great things going on right now here at the Freedom Center. The guys just, starting their journey, just seeking the Lord. It's really just been an honor just to get to be a part of their journey and part of their walk.
Kyle, tell them what the Freedom Center done in your life.
So I came to the Freedom Center back in August, and I stayed on as an intern, but it's really made a major impact in my life. Tommy, you and Ronnie and the rest of the team, that y'all just pour into our lives day in and day out, and it's definitely been life changing for me.
Well, all right, and if you need help, go to our webpage, CorinthFreedomCenter.com. It starts right there. Like I said, we are maxed right now. We got guys waiting, but we can get you help, and we will get you help. So it's CorinthFreedomCenter.com. And Bobby, one of the reasons that is so important with our new vision and new path or new look is that we closed on 112 acres of land last week on Alcorn Central School Road with the vision of building a new building there where we can house 12, maybe 13, 14 guys right now. We're going to go to 24 guys right off the bat. With ideal down the road somewhere, they'll house 48 men. And we've got the land there to build the campus. We got the land there to start that vision. And we had Josh Barton with us last week, and he talked to us about.
He's the director of the Home of Grace, by the way.
Yeah, how his granddaddy started the Home of Grace 60 years ago. And where they're at now, they've got the most beautiful campus. It looks like a junior college campus there. And I can see, you know, in the future.
Started in campus, a trailer in the mud bog.
Yeah, where that campus where we've got there on Central School Road could look like that down the road.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I carried you out last week and showed it to you.
Yeah, great piece of land. I really love it. Can't wait to get to clearing it and getting it paid for and just being patient with the process. I mean, we tell the guys to be patient with the process. We have to be patient with it too. But it is true that, you know, as we continue on, God just keeps building us and opening up the next thing. And so we're glad about that. I loved hearing how Josh, you know, kind of did just cabin by cabin by cabin by cabin, and would get a church to sponsor one, and then a church to sponsor the next one, and you know, but he had kind of like a master design, but it built out over a long period of time, till it was finally what it was, and so it's good to think about that. Also, we've told you this before, but just to reiterate it, the campus that we're on right now won't just disappear. It's going to become a second phase type campus where we can house interns and people who are going to stay for longer. And like Home of Grace has a campus like this where they house people that are away from the main campus, but they work at the main campus and they stay in program to give them a longer term. So we can have a whole group of interns who are doing a kind of second phase and staying a little bit longer, but we can put them to work and do that with them. And so we're going to be continuing to use the property that we're on for that purpose. So we're real tickled about the future and what we're thinking about going forward. It's a real blessing.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about today's show because we're going to talk about a heavy topic, Bobby. Topic in the recovery world, in addiction recovery, addiction ministry, the word relapse. We do a lot of groups on relapse. Several years ago, probably 15 years ago or so, me and you was having a conversation, and we wondered why people was coming back, and a lot of them would come back in a mess, bigger mess. Very few of them was getting well. A lot of them was just continue to struggle.
But let me give one more piece to it, though. They'd come home from a rehab, just like our rehab now, walking and leaping and praising God, you know, dancing, coming back with this great testimony. Man, I finally feel free for the first time in my life. My head is clear, and, you know, my heart is clear and full of joy and full of Jesus. And, you know, 6 weeks later, you know, we're digging them out of a ditch somewhere. You know what I mean? And so how do you go from, you know, walking and leaping and praising God to us digging you out of the ditch 6 weeks later? And it became not an exception, but it was the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, like we were seeing, and then of course we started doing our own homework. Once we started doing our own homework, we realized that in the addiction world overall, and even in faith-based addiction recovery system, you know, like this is like so common that some people say relapse is a part of recovery.
Yeah, I was thinking right? saying yeah. is that is we're going to answer that question, but a lot of people believe relapse has been part of my recovery.
Yeah, for sure.
And so much. So we're going to get into that in the second, third segment. We've got a guest here, Larry Winter, that could chime in on that. We're going to let him. Kyle Jackson's here with us. Clevy White's in the studio. The only thing we're missing is Truett Brown. So, we get to do this radio show because of our sponsors, and we're thankful for all these sponsors, Car and Mattress Furniture Outlet. That's my store. Listen, 3 miles west of High Prices, we got a Mattress of the Month going on. It's a Mattress of the Month sale. We got a buy on some Queens and Kings that come out of a warehouse. Stop by. It's a great day to buy a mattress. Living Free Ministries, we've been here 20 years in Corinth helping folks. Crosswind Ministry, same thing. They've been in our community for 20 years. We're thankful for our friendship with them. Our friend Nick Bain. We use Nick for a lot of our legal needs, and, man, we encourage you to use our friend Nick Bain. Wilco Real Estate Group. That's my wife, Maria Wilson, and her team, which consists of my daughter and a lot of other great people. For all of your real estate needs, reach out to Maria, Olivia, or any of that group. Buying, selling, or just need a question, man, reach out to them. Gatlin's Pharmacy in Tishomingo, Bart and Dawn Dorn. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Dawn, for being partners and supporters, and thank you for being friends. But look, for any of you pharmacy needs, reach out to Bart and them there at Gatlin's Pharmacy in Tishomingo. Hudson Windows, man, Perry Hudson can take care of you on any kind of windows there in your home. Need to replace them or just need some work done, Perry Hudson, Hudson Window Solution. Outpost Outdoors there in Pickwick for RV, outdoor activities as far as side-by-side rides and stuff, reach out to Outpost Outdoors there in Pickwick.
And that's not to rim. They actually have this great big old acreage that you can drive around on and the whole deal up there.
Yeah. Daniel Alter here with the local subways. We have three in Corinth, two on Highway 72, a brand new one on Shallow Road. Go by and get you a foot-long meatball today, or, hey, just buy a dozen cookies and drop them off at my store. Listen, hey, we're going to take a break, and we're coming back, and we're going to be talking about relapse.
Wilco Real Estate Group is a full-service real estate agency located in downtown Corinth. Our agents service all of Northeast Mississippi and Southwest Tennessee, including the Pickwick Lake area. If you would like to talk real estate, please call or text us at 662-415-5922. You can also email us at info@wilcocorinth.com. You can also check out our website for some free content on the home buying or home selling process at wilcocorinth.com.
If you live in Tishomingo, Belmont, Iuka, Burnsville, and the surrounding area, Gatlin's Pharmacy, 18 First Avenue in Tishomingo, is your one stop for all your pharmacy needs. Gatlin's Pharmacy has programs available that will save you time and money. They offer a discount program that is unique to our area. Do you have a parent or loved one who needs help keeping up with their medicines? Gatlin's Pharmacy will do the work for you. They will package your prescriptions for date and time and deliver them to you. Give Gatlin's Pharmacy a call and find out why they are way more than just a pharmacy. Gatlin's Pharmacy, 662-438-6605. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Baines & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Baines & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620.
Hi, it's Tommy Wilson, Living Free Ministries, here in Corinth, Mississippi. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." At Living Free Ministries, we want to help you to understand how to renew your mind through a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to take you out of addiction and take you into peace, promise, and joy. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Check us out, livingfreecorinth.com.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Hey guys, we're back. It's our second segment here. Our show is titled Hope, and that's our mission each day. Let me give you some phone numbers and stuff. If you got a question, comment about our show, we already got a couple of texts. 662-603-9829. You can text, ask a question or comment or anything on the show. Or if you can listen online anytime. You're going to be out of town, listen, you can pick us up, supertalk.fm Corinth. You can pick us up anywhere in the world. So there's a couple of outlets that you can reach out to us. If you need help at the Freedom Center, I'm going to give you Kyle Jackson's phone number. Give him your number, Kyle.
662-664-6204.
That is 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
Yeah, you can call him anytime.
Preferably after midnight.
Yeah, just call him. Call him about 11 o'clock and wake him up tonight.
Good answer.
Yeah. Listen, Bobby, we was in group yesterday. We do groups every day there at the center. You happened to be doing group yesterday. And it really, he was in Ephesians chapter 6, but we got to talking about relapse. And, you know, we brought up one of the things that some men has relapsed 6-7 times. And we ran with that. We looked at that a lot. So I want to take a little time today and just talk about relapse. You said at the start of the show, a lot of people believe relapse is part of recovery, you know. But the truth is, a lot of folks relapse. And not everybody, but not everybody gets well. The numbers is low that people gets completely away from meth, alcohol, cocaine, pills, you name it, pornography. You know, the numbers is low to start with.
Well, there's only 6 or 7% of people that stop using and never use again. Only 6 or 7%, which means 93 out of 100 people that stopped at one point will have some variation of a relapse.
So if you start drinking today, there's a 93% chance that you'll never get away from it.
Well, completely.
Yeah.
Like, finally, yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, and what I mean is that as we're stopping, let me put this in spiritual terms, which is the only terms that we use at in our ministry. As God is saving you, rescuing you, and building your faith so that you can walk in a consistent freedom from your addiction, there's a lot of bumps along the road.
Well, and the big numbers is, I mean, that it kind of goes along with, it says only 90% of the people that struggle with addiction will leave their home, their community, to go into a residential program to get help. So we're saying anywhere from 90-93% of the people will have struggles.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, Bobby. One of the great things that we, I don't know, it ain't great, but it's one of the sayings that's in the recovery world, and it started sometime in the last 75 years probably. Once an addict's always an addict.
Yeah.
So that gives you almost a pass to go relapse.
Yeah. Well, and it gives you a sense of a loss of hope too. You know, I mean, it gives you this hopelessness, and that's not how our faith talks about our life. And we do, here's, you know, I don't know whether we want to get into kind of the meat of this a little bit already, but I want to broaden the subject a little bit so that you're not only thinking about just us guys and you as a listener don't like think we're not talking about you. And here's what I mean. It's persistent sin is all it is, right? It's a sin I keep stumbling back to. And so you might say, well, you know, for me, it's anger. You know, I mean, like, you know, the Lord really has helped me on my anger. But, man, I tell you what, you know, some days I tell you.
I blow it.
I'm back in it. You know, yeah. I've relapsed into my old ways of being angry and bitter. Some of you might say it's unforgiveness. You know, I've still got that ex-spouse that I can't forgive. And man, I can see the Word of God saying, if you don't forgive people, you're not even a Christian. You know what I mean? But man, every time I try to forgive her or forgive him, you know what I mean? I find myself with bitterness I've relapsed into bitterness. I've relapsed into unforgiveness and it could be anything with you. I mean, anything with us. We're weak, sin is persistent and resistant. Well, and here's what I mean by that. This is the Romans 7's piece. The desire to sin is a function of all of us until we have a new bodies in the resurrection. And so you're going to want to sin. Listen to the way the Lord says it in Hebrews 12. He says, so since we have a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, everything that's weighing us down, and the sin which so easily entangles us. So all of us are easily entangled by sin. That's all relapse is. all of us are easily running back to it. And he says, of course, he teaches us how to do that. And so, and we'll talk about that in another segment. But so relapse is just, it is us falling back to our old way of getting our needs met, getting our pain covered, getting our boredom reduced, getting our, you know, all these false gods, you know, and it's us going back to the well, if you will.
Well, and
the empty well, it turns out.
For a lot of guys that has come through our program, you know, we've had 63 alumni that's graduated.
Yeah.
We've had six of them die, so that's right at 10%.
I mean, and that's not relapse. That's dead from relapse.
That's from relapse.
Yeah.
And things. And then we have a large number of people that have struggled. We've got a good friend with us today, Larry.
Like, how many have we been in our, how many have we been in the program for at least some like over 100 something, right?
Well, one of the numbers you've gave us, and it come out of a study that, if you can get to 2 years, and then you can get to 3 years, after 3 years, you have a large percentage of going forward and not coming back.
So remember when I told, when we talked about the number that 93% of people will relapse. But let me tell you another number. If you don't use for 3 years, 70% of those people will stay sober. Only 30% of those people relapse. So if you can make it through your first 3 years, then only 30% of those people relapse. And so that's a fantastic number. I mean, it almost sounds like the time that Jesus spent with his disciples. Oh, it is. It almost, you know what I mean? And so what does it mean? I mean, like, pull it back. I need to be discipled. I need to take this seriously. I need to realize that I'm weak. I need to realize that I'm very susceptible to relapse. I need to realize that these desires and the way that I've been running my life for so long has so deeply impacted me and affected me that even though I'm a believer, that old way of doing business, that old manner of life that it talks about in Ephesians 4 is still right there with me. So that Paul will say in Romans 7, so I saw then that there's a law like physics, like gravity, that when I would do good, sin was right there with me.
Yeah. But, I mean, Paul also says in Galatians, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the
law.
That's right. You know, he says, if I walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Yeah. So that the word desire is something we battle. I desire to eat all three of them blueberry donuts in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a battle.
Absolutely.
But I know from being at the gym this morning, I don't need to go in there and eat the three.
Yeah.
I may go eat one, but no.
No, but it is, right, we've never sinned without wanting to. That's the desire.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that here's what guys that have gone to our rehab or any rehab or have some a bit of sobriety think that all of a sudden the desire is going to go away. And let me tell you why. Because early on in recovery many times, the desire does go away. I'll counsel many guys who are early in recovery and say, man, I do not even think about it. I have no desire at all. Right? I mean, it's just gone. And here's what they foolishly think, that it stays gone. They foolishly think that it ain't never going to eat their lunch again. I told the guys a story about 17 years after I quit doing the stuff I was doing, that I was a believer and was a pastor and was, you know, and all of a sudden I found myself one time isolated with easy access to stuff, and there was suddenly this overwhelming urge to go and use again. And I was so shocked by it. You know, yeah. I was so shocked that after 17 years walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, that here in this weak moment, that I literally had somebody put it in front of me in that moment, I'd have took it.
Well, I wanted to ask the question, I mean, look at the question today of why is the relapse happening? So we would credit that to it's the desire of our flesh.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you made this statement yesterday, Bobby. It's when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put our eyes on ourselves.
Yeah, so
it's the guy in the mirror.
So here's the next line. Remember I was reading out of Hebrews 12? So this is what he says. So let's run the race with endurance that's set before us and fix your eyes on Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus is what it means, right? And so what and so what Tommy just says off the top of the deal is that, look, and here's what ends up happening, and this is what Tommy's alluding to, is that when I start taking my eyes and putting them on my circumstances, when I start taking my eyes and putting them on myself, judging and grading myself, trying to figure out, you know, whether or not I'm a failure or a loser or all the above. When I start, or like if I look at my circumstances, you know, I'm lonely, you know, my family's still messed up, you know what I mean? All the stuff, you know, I've got this problem, that problem, economic problems, you know, relationship problems in my family. And I start doing that, then I'm very susceptible. Because what I will do if I'm not looking at Jesus is I will begin to try to solve the problem by myself. I will try to do my will instead of thy will. And I'm set up for sin to take me out.
You know, Michael Jackson's old song, when he was talking about the man in the mirror, he said, if I'm going to change the world, I got to start with a man in the mirror. I'm asking the man in the mirror to make a change.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm letting my desires of my flesh, and go to Galatians 5, it'll tell you like 12 of them things.
Sure.
It will get you in trouble. So why we relapse is the desire of the flesh has overcome my spirit life.
Yeah, well, think about this. How many pastors, you know, who've been a pastor for 15, 20 years have an affair with a secretary?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, what is that? Was that like not a legit pastor? Did he not walk with God? Did he, you know, not love God and do? No.
He
just, that's it. He just has desires.
I put my eyes on the guy in the mirror.
And you have a desire. All of a sudden it's white hot and you're looking at all this stuff instead of the Lord Jesus and you're in trouble.
Well, listen, Bobby, we got a guy here that you're going to interview and talk to in the next segment that knows a little bit about relapse and stuff. So we're looking forward to this. We're talking about relapse. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Bobby Capps interviewing our friend Larry.
This is Bobby Capps from Crosswind. Crosswind's a ministry that started here in town after Katrina just to help people. We just help people in a lot of different ways. We do group counseling. We do counseling at the rehabs. We do counseling in the prison. We take care of homeless people that come to our community and provide them with connections to people who can house them or get them a bottle of water or some food, whatever they need. And we just try to be here to say that if you're on down and out, we can help. Or we can point you to someone who can.
This is Angel Quinn from Crosswind. Crosswind also hosts other opportunities in our community, including after-school tutoring and a local subsidized apartment complex. We partner with Oasis Medical Center and One by One Ministries to mentor and educate new and expectant moms. And we offer a community clothes closet. We're all about equipping volunteers to serve in our community. And we also have The Gathering, which is a weekly worship service on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. If you are in need of help, please contact Crosswind at 662-287-5600 or stop by our office located at 703 Tate Street in Corinth.
Bain Bowen, attorneys at law, are proud to be a part of this program. At Bain & Bowen, they know that going through a legal dispute can be a frustrating and scary process. They can help you with a wide range of legal issues, including criminal cases, divorce and family law issues, as well as personal injury cases. Bain & Bowen, attorneys at law, will pursue the best course of action and get you the outcome you deserve. For all your legal needs, call Bain & Bowen at 662-287-1620. That's 286-1620.
Hey folks, it's Tommy Wilson, Car and Mattress Furniture Outlet right here in Carm, Mississippi. And listen, we've got big news for the year 2025. We've got a mattress of the month every month this year. And starting in January, we're going to go with a Sub-Zero in all sizes. It's made by Capital Bedding. You can save up to $300 this month. Car and Mattress Furniture Outlet right here on Highway 72. And remember, you got to come 3 miles west of high prices to get that deal.
Now back to Hope with Tommy Wilson, Bobby Capps, and Ronnie Martin.
Welcome back, everybody. In this segment, we're going to talk to some guys who've been down the road before. Kyle, our intern, went to the home of Grace in when, Kyle?
Well, I actually went twice. I went in 2016, got out, did well for a little while. I ended up going back in 2019, and I got out. I did really well once again for several months, and I got out, you know, and I fell flat on my face.
Yeah, so, well, let me just ask you real quick. When you were at the Home of Grace, were you a believer? Did you really lean into the Lord Jesus? Did you
Absolutely.
Feel like, wow, finally I feel good? And I mean, didn't you feel great when you graduated the Home of Grace?
So I actually got saved while I was at the Home of Grace the first time in 2016. But when I went back in 2019, I was ready for change. I was seeking the Lord. Every day I was doing everything that, you know, that I thought I was supposed to be doing. And I got out, and there was just a couple of different things that caused me to stumble. One was isolation. You know, I didn't follow up with anybody, like any accountability. And I wasn't working at the time, so.
Why did you need accountability, Kyle?
Well, you know, as I've been here at the Freedom Center, that's one thing that we focus on a lot here. You know, you need somebody that's going to be able to hold you accountable, somebody that's not afraid to call you, you know, on your stuff whenever, you know, when things get tough and you know, you're obviously going through some things. You got to have somebody that's going to be honest with you. And
I need it because I'm weak, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I need it because I'm weak. I mean it because when I'm out on an island and those tough things happen,
absolutely,
I end up not doing what I ought to do, and I get my eyes off of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so I need brothers that sitting around me that'll put my eyes back on Jesus, right? And if I'm out there by myself, sometimes on an island. You know, that's not the way God designed the thing. God designed his people to be in community with one another.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so, and then when you came back and you got back in trouble, you went to jail. But when you were in jail, you stopped using.
Exactly. Yeah, I stopped using.
And so. I'm only saying that to let you know that you can use in any jail. I mean.
Well, see, I had several opportunities where I could have used. But you know, when I went to jail this last time, I really just made a decision, man, and it was more real this time than it ever has been in my life, you know. And I prayed and I made a promise to God, you know, that if he would just see me through this, you know, that I would do whatever it takes to get it right.
But here's the deal. Don't tell me, or well, I'll just ask you a question rather than say don't tell me. While you were in jail, though, and there's opportunity,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you don't have desire.
Right.
It just means that I had already up front said to the Lord, Lord, I'm just going to say no. I'm going to put off these desires.
Exactly.
I'm going to put off these opportunities. I'm going to say no to them. That's the language of Scripture, to put off the old man, to put off the old man with his desires. That's Colossians 3 and Romans 6 and Ephesians 4 and all those different passages, Galatians 5. And what you had just said, no. And there was some resolve. It didn't mean that you were suddenly strong because of your resolve, but it just meant that, you know, the Lord was helping you and that you knew that you could, that with his help, you could put it off. Okay, so Clevie White's in the room. Clevie also went to the Home of Grace and then also relapsed. Clevie, when you came home from the Home of Grace, was the first time I met you. And I thought, man, if the Lord's ever changed a dude, whoo, he sure changed this rascal. You know what I mean? And when I met you, I didn't know you in the throes of addiction. I actually met you after the Lord had already really turned you around. And you were really turned around, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, and there wasn't any question that the Lord had done a mighty work in your life.
That's right.
And, but, like, how is it that all of a sudden, you know, our weakness pops back up? Because what ended up happening with you?
Well, I graduated from the Home of Grace in 2010, came back and got hooked up with Tommy and, you know, started being a giver instead of a taker. And for many years, I stayed connected. I came to all the meetings. And right around 2013, 14, I quit coming to any of the meetings. Just took my eyes off God and ended back up in the ditch. I'd highly stress to anybody that comes out of a program that going to meetings and staying connected. Tommy says he sees me as much now as he did when I was in the program, but it's very important to me to stay, you know, grounded.
But why?
Just because you've got to stay connected with good, godly people and people that will hold you accountable.
Yeah, but why do you have to stay connected to them? Because I'm weak.
Because I'm weak.
And I need people, right?
Because I know that I'm weak and I
need
people.
We need each other.
That's right.
Peter calls us the fellowship of the sufferers.
That's right.
You know, we're weak. We need each other. God didn't design us to do this thing alone.
I really figured out how weak I really was. So
both of your guys' instance, both of your guys' story has to do with isolation. Like me thinking that I was strong enough maybe to just do life on my own, but to find out the hard way that I was definitely not.
Well,
I may never be.
What it all really boils down to, like you said, I completely took my eyes off the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and
there you go. That's right. So instead of keep on fixing my eyes on Jesus, I started fixing my eyes on my problems or my this or my that or just the world, the flesh, and the devil, all the stuff, yeah. Right? And I got led astray by it.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Well, I already do have a natural man that remembers how to use dope.
That's it.
You know what I mean? And that desire is going to be there. Mm-hmm. When I would do good, that desire is right there.
Yep.
And I've already shaped that desire in my past. So, like, I don't have any desire to do meth. I ain't never used it. I promise you, if I had used it, I might have the desire to do it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but the things that I did do, the things that I was shaped by, the sin that I was shaped by, the particular sin, I definitely still have desire in that area, right? And so why? Because I'm weak. Who do I need? I need Jesus. You know what I mean? I need Jesus and his people, his body. Larry, you're here. Larry's back in our program, and he's back in our program not because our program didn't refresh him, not because he didn't feel strong in the Lord when he left, you know what I mean? But because what, Larry?
The desire comes before the sin. And what I've looked at now in talking with you, Bobby, is every choice I make makes me. So I gave into that desire of sin.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful I made it back, because the way the Lord works is the two gentlemen sitting to my left, Cleve and Kyle, were the client recovery team, is what Cleve named it, because they came and got me. I mean, literally, I was in a ditch.
Yeah, they're the white coat guys.
Yes, sir. But I leaned back on my own understanding. I let one comment lead me away from the Lord.
Yeah. So, well, and what does that mean? Well, I was weak. One comment could take me out. And rather than having continued in this ongoing deal, and what does Paul say at the end of Romans 7? What, this is why Romans 7 is such an extraordinarily important chapter. It's why the church has tried to like water it down and kick it out and make it something that it's not. Paul's saying, listen, because of the sin that's still in me and the desires that it produces in me, he ends up Romans 7 saying, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? What does he mean by the body of death? It's this sin that's still latent in me, that still makes me want to do my will instead of God's will, makes me want to go my own way instead of God's way, makes me want to go back to, in our case, the old ways of solving problems and covering pain up and dealing with our stress rather than the new godly ways to do those same thing. So we train each other while we're at the center on godly responses to the very same sufferings that led us to drink before or drug before or sex, you know, and a lot of you guys have sex addictions, you know, that are listening to me and or gambling addictions or workaholism or all of our little fetishes, you know, all of our little things that we do that are that we try to comfort, to save ourselves, to comfort our stresses, to do whatever it is. And what happens is, and when we're working together to care for each other's souls in the Freedom Center, we're learning how to deal with those same things in a godly way. But here's the deal. When I'm out on an island and the pressure's on me, guess what, man? I don't have access to that godly way. I have access to it because the Lord promises that with every temptation, he'll provide for me a way out. So I have that access to it. But one of the things that God gives to us is his body, the people of God, to really be around us. That's why we're so big on being a part of a local church, not just showing up on Sunday, but being an active part of a local church where you're being fed and where you're being strengthened and where you have accountability. And for those of us who are in the recovery world, for us to be an active part of ongoing recovery thing. And we're so weak, by the way, that we need it like every day. And y'all can get a little bit on Sunday and maybe it'll carry you through. That's not us.
Amen.
You know, we're everyday guys.
Yeah.
But because why? Because so much of my life, this is what Paul says you have to put off is the old manner of life. And what does he mean by that? Well, so much of my life literally was defined by drinking and drugging. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, I mean, y'all each could tell me the same story and have, mm-hmm. you know. It's like everything, you know, if I was mad, I drank. If I was sad, I drank. If I was happy, I drank. If I was, you know, like everything. Then pretty soon, you know, when I got up, I had to do it just because, well, I'm awake and I don't like what feeling awake is unless I'm messed up, you know. And all of a sudden, my whole life is characterized by that. Now, so the Lord tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus in that passage. But then that passage goes on to say this. It goes on to say that that in your struggle against sin, in verse 4, you haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, right? What's he trying to say there? You have a Savior who has resisted to the point of shedding blood, right? I mean, so the deal is that, and he says this, so you're going to blow it. That's his point. And then in Hebrews 12, he goes on to say, but I love you, and you're my kid, and when you blow it, you're going to suffer the consequences of it, right? And in that suffering, take that suffering as my discipline, right? And don't regard it lightly, and don't become weary. Don't let it take you out. and you have to endure it. You have to endure the consequences, if you will, of your sin that are that feel like a scourging for a season, but they bring about the peaceable fruits of righteousness. No, so let me say this. Many of us are back in rehab, and our families are on the rocks, and, you know, all the stuff, right? Or we have financial problems or legal problems or all the above, right? I mean, it's all there. And those are consequences that feel like scourgings to us. And he says, you have to endure them. You can't let them wear you out. I'm here for you. I'm your father. And I'm using these things to teach you something. What am I trying to teach you? To keep your eyes on me. To be sober and to be vigilant, because you do have an adversary that's trying to take you out. And that you have to resist him standing firm in your faith. And yesterday our talk was on putting on the full armor of God, which is what it means to stand firm in your faith. Mm-hmm. So how do I resist him? I have to resist him by standing firm in my faith. And part of standing firm in your faith is not standing firm in my faith on an island, but standing firm in my faith with my brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With my brothers. Paul wrote these letters to churches, not to individuals. Right? I mean, even when he wrote to Titus and Timothy, which are the individuals, they were pastors of churches, right? And so the thing is that, listen, we suffer relapse because we're weak. One of the characteristics of people that are going to relapse is isolation. You think that you don't need the meeting. You think that you don't need to continue building your faith. You think that you don't need the people of God. Listen, the very fact that you think that means you're already headed down the wrong path.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, what was another thing that would characterize it? I know everybody talks about isolation almost first, but there's something that's behind isolation that makes you isolate. What's that?
Rejection is what I would say.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, unpack that for me.
Well, for me, you know, like when I got out of the Home of Grace the last time, you know, when you get out, you know, you're this, obviously, this changed man. You know, and you're seeking the Lord. Do I need to take a break? And, you know, you're seeking the Lord, and, I just lost my train of thought.
No, that's fine. So you're talking about
like when rejection. I got home, you know, you're doing good, and you want everybody else to see you're doing good, and to everybody, you know, you want everybody to think that you've changed, and
there's still
some people that's looking, they're like,
well, yeah, they're here, throwing, you know, shade on you like nobody's business.
Well, yeah,
they're like, we used to ask people what was the one thing that kept you away from meeting. And they would say, when I walk in the meeting, everybody's looking at me like, when you fixing to fall?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Larry, you said that you suffered a comment that was a rejection comment that led you to back into the bottle. What was that?
Yes, sir. The comment. I mean,
don't give me the details. Just give me big picture.
It created for me feeling an injustice.
Yeah. So, well, I got took out. I felt like somebody didn't love me, didn't respect me, didn't value me, and didn't believe in me. Right.
Yes, sir.
And so, what happens was that thing wiped me out. It's the same thing, Kyle. You go back into these meetings. I mean, I picked on Clevey before he was leaving because he don't live very close to here. He lives an hour away. And so I was like, Clevey, I need you to make sure you get locked down in church somewhere because you ain't going to come back over here. And now every time he's over here, he goes, I ain't going to come back over here, huh? You know what I mean? So, but whatever. And he could have really taken that as a sentence of rejection, right? Because it is that we want people to believe in us. We want people to see us in the image of God. We want people to honor us. And rejection takes guys out probably faster. And it's if you want to talk about a psychological wound, that will take you out faster than anything, it's somebody rejecting you.
Yeah.
Or when you get down, to somebody to step on you when you're down by saying, well, you're probably not saved anyways, and you don't even know Jesus or something like that. More rejection, condemnation. What is it when somebody says you're not saved? They're condemning you right there. It's condemnation. And you're sitting there going like, man, I need somebody to help me up and lift me up, not to keep stepping on me and putting me down. But what happens is we have an ungodly response to rejection, and rejection reminds me of the old ways of quickly medicating the pain.
Yeah.
And so guess what? And right suddenly, it's right in my face. And what I want to do is grab that bottle or go down to the dope house or do whatever it is to feel better because somebody takes me out with a comment. Instead of standing in what we believe, stand firm in what you believe. That's how you can fight off this attack from the enemy. And what do I believe? God has accepted me because of what Jesus did to me. God has saved me from my sins. God believes in me. God treats me as his son. This very passage that we've been talking about, God treats you as your son. The very fact that you're suffering is it's him treating you as a son. He loves you and he cares for you. And so that is what rescues me. But sometimes I need to hear that from somebody else. I need to have that gospel preached to me, if you will, so to bring my soul out of the misery that it's in. Okay, guys, we're fixing to wrap it up. And let me just tell you, tonight, as with every Thursday night, we have a meeting at Living Free. Tonight, by the way, Kyle, our guest speaker this morning, is also going to be telling his testimony along with his mother at Living Free. And you don't want to miss it. They have a great story together. They very much loved each other. And she held the rope for him for a lot of years and is delighted at what the Lord has done in his life. And so please come to that, and we'll be doing that together tonight. Let me just tell you guys that are suffering with sin that keeps eating your lunch. I don't care. It may not be our type of sin, you know, addiction, going back to the bottle or the pill guy or whatever. But it may be your type of sin, you know, just anger or just, you know, negative attitudes or all the different things that you get yourself caught up in. Let me just tell you this, that fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes back on him. Get around God's people. Get encouraged and refreshed in what you believe. Begin to believe the things about you that God believes about you. Begin to see in the world through God's eyes, not your own eyes. And I promise you, you'll do better. And if you need any help for that, please don't hesitate to call us. We're going to wrap up today, like we always do, with the doxology from Jude. And the reason that we talk about the doxology from Jude, and we love to end with it, is because it's a doxology to the stumblers. And those of us who are relapsers, and by the way, that's all of you, and you may not have relapsed into an alcohol addiction, but you surely have relapsed into your sins. Mm-hmm. And we are stumblers. And yet God, by his grace, says that he does something very special to stumblers. And we like to close every meeting with it. It's our hope. Kyle, what does God say that he does for stumblers?
Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week.